besides the 31 for the strep throat thing?
The full contract with YKHC is 57.5, and
the governor allowed some of it. So
oh, I see. All right. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to bring it up to 100%. He allowed some part of it, but there's other reductions the governor made that we kept. In travel, contractual commodities, and equipment, the governor took little pieces from them here and there. Okay.
$14.47, huh?
Okay, Laboratory Administration, 122.2. It's a reduction of 3.2 under contractual. I don't know if the governor reduced it, so we just accept it. Certification and licensing, maintenance budget 305.6. Under public health, the first component is administration, page 59, 699.3. Let's see, what did we do there?
How much?
Oh, yeah, right. 699.3 is the budget recommendation. Now, the addition here is we funded the patient care information system. The subcommittee went over to the department over there and looked at two different data processing programs, one of which was almost up to speed, one which they're working on, and it's I think it was pretty clear after a couple of hours of looking over there that if they computerizing their records, it would be a great efficiency, not only in terms of the time of the employees, but also in terms of information and cross tabulations that they couldn't get otherwise. So that what the governor did was he wiped out two positions in somewhere and gave them the cost of those positions to fund their program, but didn't fully fund it. It's $210,000 to bring it online up 100%. So we made the judgment that there's going to be efficiencies gained and economies gained. I have the information here. If anybody cares to, they give an estimation as to how much they're going to save once they're up there and what the benefits of the program are.
Russ, is this a one-time capital shot? Is that it? Is can we break it out separately, in other words, so that it'll show up not as a continuing expenditure next year?
I think we have intent. The 210.1 general fund for patient care information system lapses if the system is not implemented, and I guess we probably could use intent to separate it, but that's a good idea, so we don't fund it automatically next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You want to make that a separate appropriation, Mr. Chairman?
No, I think it's enough if we break it out so that it can be seen. You know, we can even put it in intent. 210 is to be used to fund whatever
just say that it's one time
record
only.
System. And if it isn't implemented, that amount will be lapsed. Or whatever, however you want to do it, just so that the person can look in there and see what that amount's for. That's a one time shot.
That's a good idea. Okay, next from page 61, Public Health Administration, Health Education. We have 154.9. This is the governor's budget below the maintenance figure. Page 63, Public Health Administration grant to Anchorage.
There was something you wanted to add here, Russ. Somebody wanted to add something here, and I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
I think it was a state grant.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's what it was, all right.
State clinic.
That's what I think.
$130,000.
Come on.
$130,000.
We have a lot of dogs, I.
Yeah, but we're talking about a health budget for God's sake, you're going.
It is a health hazard to walk down the street and get chased by a dog, mentally, as well as.
Let's,
Mentally as well, basically.
Well, we'll entertain appropriate motions.
Mr. Chairman, I might explain this, go ahead, Rick.
Rick?
Well, those two gals that came down here, I don't have their names here, but they came down from Anchorage, and Lisa Rudd has a bill in. And I think the thing should be attached to Lisa Rudd's bills where it belongs. But she was sort of, she didn't. But I think that the girls that came to the office made a pretty fair point that there should be something done. And they talked about a mobile clinic, and I suggested to them that they go over to the Small Business Administration and borrow the money and get into the business and do it properly, because if it was that good, then it could be handled by a private enterprise. That was my feeling on it, that's what I told them, but I think absolutely that if we get Lisa's bill up here, we should attach it to Lisa's bill and let her carry it. Because she introduced the legislation on it and prompted the people actually in the background to come down here and talk about the thing.
Well, I think, speaking for myself, I think it's a municipal problem.
Well.
I mean, you know, the villages, for instance, have been doing this kind of stuff for years, except that they.
They do it under just simply go out and shoot the dogs if their turn loose. That takes care of the problem, then the people take care of it. But I think that the proper place for this legislation is in Lisa's bill.
Well, whatever, Russ, what's your, Secretary, recommend?
$700,000, Mr. Chairman, last year, the free conference committee recommended $700,000, the governor reduced it by $100,000 in a line item veto. If you look at the amount spent per capita, the people from Anchorage claim that they can show that they should be receiving $900,000. That's what they requested. We put them back at $700,000, not because we didn't agree with their request, just because it was such a large increase. But one of the reasons they're interested in, again, in having a $900,000 is there's presently a bill in which would give them inflation. As you know, previous to 78, it was at $500,000 for about 5 years, just a steady rate. So they want to have an automatic escalator, and they have a bill in to do that, but they want to make sure that their base is high when they get the escalator. So they're interested in getting this base as high as possible. We sort of gave them what we tried to give them last year and see if we could keep it with the governor.
Did they just?
They're not going to be happy with that, though.
Excuse me, Russ, it looks like there is a federal, they're putting some federal money in here on what looks to be a two-fifths sort of arrangement. What is that, where is that money coming from?
That's 4D money from Public Health Service, U.S. Public Health Service.
All right, so that's really just an allocation of money that we get anyhow, and it could go anyplace.
Right.
So the recommendation, $700,000?
Right.
Okay, it's hard to argue with that.
I don't think it's that hard, Mr. Chairman, it's the only community, the only municipality in the whole state where you make this kind of deal, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, but aren't they doing services that if they didn't?
Well, the thing is that we don't spend any other money, and the state provides health services for the whole state except for Anchorage. Anchorage provides its own, and for that, we give them a.
Well, they get revenue sharing too.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, the other health, and so do the other places that get the health. All the other health budget goes to the whole state except for Anchorage, and Anchorage gets compensated by this in this manner. If you look at the money we would have spent otherwise, we're saving money by doing it this way, so. They can not take their health, or I think the North Slope Borough has health powers too. I think they're thinking about it.
Well, here comes 65 here.
Health management data, 68.4, that's the maintenance budget. The governor zeroed them out, we gave them maintenance.
Well, how come he zeroed them out?
Mr. Chairman, these are the two positions he deleted in order to try to fund, use that 68.4 that he would have gained by deleting these two positions to partially fund the data system and the health budget, another health budget. We disbanded that, and we put this money back here because he was just transferring things around. I thought the 210 was you know, a justifiable expense, a one-time only justifiable expense, we put it in. He deleted two positions here. I happen to know these two people, but that's not the, not the whole problem. But we,
there's another problem.
I understand, all right.
Okay. Page 67. Emergency medical, 682.9, maintenance budget.
Point nine?
Point four. Total budget, 682.9.
That's the governor's, we got 682.9. $500, just the gas money. Mr. Chairman, that $500 is general fund. The governor wanted to leave this all in federal money, but the $500 goes to what community was it?
Toke.
Toke, or one of those, for gasoline for their, for their ambulance or whatever that is. So they really need it, so we gave them the $500.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
Is this a statewide program?
Yes.
It's total. Yes, they get a gas credit card just for their ambulance. And it's, I got four.
71, let's see.
What was it then?
Okay. Next page would be page 73, under Medicaid. And these are all we took from governors, right? Mr. Chairman, I explained before, these budgets are going to increase from these figures here by the time the session's over. The governor's right now working on budget amendments. We just took the governor's figures because we didn't have the information. So that's governor's numbers. Physician services, the governor's figures. Other services, governor's figures. And early screening, governor's figures. Nursing homes, 16,424.1. They had a $532,300 supplemental in 7 days. Is that already passed?
Yeah, we passed one supplemental this year.
Okay, so their total budget is about 15, almost 16 now, right? 16 million, right. This one's gonna really increase. They're showing documentation of a 40% inflation factor over there. So we didn't give them that, of course, but that's what they're gonna be claiming. So this change is probably going to be fairly large, but we just gave them a budget.
Mr. Chairman,
Look at freeloaders.
Wait a minute, Phil.
Russ, would you please explain the countercyclical process here?
Where are you referring to?
It's on scripts and down there. It refers to countercyclical funds in lieu of general funds.
Phil, there was an act that passed in Congress during the last year that said where in areas of high unemployment, that federal money could go into those areas to fund certain projects.
We can put it anywhere we want, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it just. Okay, page 81.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, Phil.
In areas of high unemployment?
Well, I think it's just based on the state rate, isn't it?
Right.
It's not an area kind of thing. It's just based on a state rate. Where there's a showing that there's been a high employment rate, and where there's a drop in employment, then we just want to step in some federal spending to fill up the gaps, I guess.
We're using that money in a lot of budgets, but basically what they do, Phil, is the federal government just gives it to the state, and the state can spend it just like its general fund, and they just put it wherever they want. Doesn't make very much difference. It's all the same.
Yeah, and the nursing homes facilities throughout the state, are those residents of the nursing homes automatically given Medicaid, or are there some that pay their own way?
Some would pay their own way. They would have to be within the poverty level income to be paid for by Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. How many of those people that are still in this program statewide?
I'd have to look. I think it's around 400 or so.
Okay. Thank you.
no other questions, then.
I got one. What is other funds? Is that the income from the, what is that?
Nursing homes?
Yeah, there's other, 4.8 million in other funds.
Well, that's the federal revenue sharing.
Okay.
What's the difference in the contraction for 10.461 and 16.424? What?
Contraction.
Well, in contraction, you got, you contract out $10 million in this. What, where does that money go to?
That's last year.
Well.
It's the same as the grants, really.
Stay the same?
Right, that's, the governor just wanted to put all of these sorts of payments on behalf of individuals under grants so that you can go through the budget and add up all the grants and say how much is going for direct individual benefits as opposed to bureaucratic salaries.
Okay, page 83.
That's the way to do it.
State institution. This is governor's figures. Indian Health Service, this is a new program. We took the governor's figures on it. It's required by the feds. They got.
You got federal money in there?
Yeah, most of it. Okay, general relief, there's several components under general relief. The first one, page 89, that's general relief. Okay, general relief medical has been broken out in several different components. First one on page 91, hospitals. We took the governor's figures, which is a reduction from the maintenance. Physician services, again we took the governor's figures, lower maintenance figures. Other services, we took the governor's numbers. Nursing homes, governor's reduction from the maintenance. And general relief medical catastrophic, we took the governor's figures, which is also the maintenance.
What were we supposed to do with this catastrophic? We had a big powwow with that last year. Wasn't there supposed to be some bill?
Where is it?
409, it is in the Senate Finance. We are in the process of providing a community substitute over there. So it will include a little bit more than what we saw here last year.
Okay, Public Assistance Administration, page 101. We did not allow the two Juno positions, the PA program officer and the physician's assistants, but we did give them the three accounting clerks, is that right? Yeah, the three accounting clerks are to go along with this requirement that like break out the data on the Indian Health Service separately. I think they showed that they need the three positions and it's worth a lot of federal money to get
it. Cut out the trainer? Oh no, he wasn't included.
And $879.0 is our figure. It's a reduction from the governor's figure, which is less than the maintenance budget, so this budget's been whittled down quite a bit.
879
left. Okay, data services. Page 105, is that the first one? Okay,
yep.
797.2.
7.2,
right. This would be. Yeah, this is the for our patient care information service. Okay. Page 1.
Mr. Kennedy. this reference to public assistance system redesign, how is this going to be?
That's a computer system to allow the eligibility workers for public assistance in each of the regions to have remote access to a central file that has all the public assistance recipients in it so that they can change their grant levels and do all sorts of things, hopefully a little faster.
On a regional level?
Yeah, Philip, we saw a demonstration over there. It's really interesting. They should have about, according to them, a 20% savings in the time of the eligibility worker in this budget. They'll, rather than have to sit down with you if you come in for public assistance, to write everything down, put an envelope, mail it to Juno, and Juno goes through the files, checks all out, gets the information, sends it back to you, which is a couple weeks delay, sometimes more. They'll be able to just turn on the terminal, and as you give the information, type it right into the form, send the information, and every time they have to update this information every month, I think, or every 3 months, I can't remember what it was, monthly. So all the times they're supposed to do, they usually do that by mail, they can just do it directly, and they get immediate response because they can tap right into the computer records. So it's a real savings in time, and it particularly helps, not only is it 20% efficiency in terms of the worker's time, employee's time, but the person who's applying, the applicant, now doesn't have to wait, you know, 6 weeks. They can get it immediately. So it's a real, I thought it was beneficial. Where are we, 107? 595.7, the governor's numbers.
You added these positions?
No, no positions. I think we gave them microfilm equipment. What we did, didn't we?
You didn't take the government's recommendation on positions.
There isn't any addition.
On 105.
Oh, 105. No, we
didn't. Just a minute now.
We didn't allow them, did we?
Yeah.
Two positions?
They're funded with these interagency receipts to do the patient care information.
How come they don't show up here?
They don't? I didn't get the ones marked in there.
Okay. Yeah, they're in there, right?
Okay.
Okay, vital statistics is 595.7, page 107. Page 109, data services impairment register, 91,000. Page 113, no budget. Page 115, no budget. 117. The next one will be 119, health planning. 89.
Is that HSA?
You don't see it on those figures.
Planning and research.
Okay, Mill will have to read you these numbers or tell you what we did here. It didn't come out of the computer, right?
What we did was disallow the new position, which would be
33.3 off.
Yeah,
33.3
less.
It'd
be
785.7.
Okay.
Okay,
can you
tell me what this outfit does?
Nothing.
Health planning?
They have a plan every year for both the development of health facilities. In other words, the construction of hospitals and health clinics, nursing wings and hospitals, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know what it is.
And then they also work with these local health planning systems, HSAs,
yeah,
which have to certify a need for any new health facility.
They get a chunk out of your bond money, Ernie.
I know what they do.
This health facility surveyor was supposed to go around and look at the hospitals and stuff, wasn't it? The one we didn't allow was supposed to go around and look at the hospitals.
I can tell you some stories to make your hair hurt. I can too.
I don't
want to waste your time.
119, human services plan, 158, that's the government's done, below the maintenance budget. 123, we took the maintenance figure, 117.6. 125, State Health Planning Committee, 63.3. Below the maintenance budget. Okay, alcohol and drug abuse, the first one would be 129. Administration.
Hold it a minute. Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. Under administration, alcohol and drug abuse, 749.1.
You allowed all the positions then?
We allowed all the positions the governor allowed and added a program coordinator.
Six positions.
Well, it's.
All two.
No, we didn't allow.
One, two, three, four, five.
We added that.
He asked for five, two. You asked for one more.
We didn't allow the others?
We allowed the other positions that the governor.
Okay, it doesn't show up in my running here.
This is where.
But it should be six instead of one on the House side, right?
Right. What did you do?
We allowed everything the governor allowed and gave him a program coordinator, Joe.
Consider feelings.
Helen Byrne came to the committee and made a special request that we add this program coordinator.
Got to remember that Helen Byrne is one of the people who voted for that goddamn pot bill, too. Now she's over there taking care of the kids that get in trouble with smoking pot in the schools and stuff. She was. Now she's over here taking care of her own problems.
Well,
that's right.
Okay.
Mr. Meekus?
Page 131. This is the alcohol abuse grants, 2471. That's our figure. No. Wait a minute. Didn't show up on my print.
Should be
governor's. We took the governor's figures, I think, so it would be 2471. And same with the drug abuse grants, we took the governor's figures, it would be 872.1. That's a reduction from the maintenance budget. The Alaska Psychiatric Institute, our figures are 7,451,700. That's the governor's figure. That is a reduction from the maintenance budget.
What's the figure now?
7,451.7.
That's the governor's figure.
Mr. Chairman, could I go back to these alcohol programs and ask a question from
what page?
Well, any one of them. But I'd like to know, do we have, does the state provide the funds for the Anchorage Council on Alcoholism, except through revenue sharing?
The National, NCA, National Council?
No, the Anchorage Municipality.
Mm-hmm.
How much is it from there?
Well, I'll have to look. It's around 500,000 or so.
500,000. That's from revenue sharing?
Oh, no, that's a grant under this alcohol program.
Not the NCA, not the national now, it's the state.
25,000. Right, so to the municipality under this alcoholism program, we give them a grant of about 500,000.
500,000.
And then they would get something under revenue sharing also.
Mr. Chairman, I might add that there's a special committee on alcoholism, because everybody knows, and they feel that all the money that's collected in alcohol taxes ought to be spent on alcohol and drug abuse, particularly alcohol. And so that would almost double this budget, and they've got a strong position on that, and there's a bill going through to do that. That this budget would end up being 8.2 million rather than the 4 million or whatever it is now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next one is contract forensic services. We took the maintenance budget. Okay, community mental health services, page 141, took the maintenance figure. Fairbanks Regional Mental Health Clinic, took the maintenance figure. Juneau Regional Mental Health Clinic, maintenance budget. And community mental health grants, it should be 600,000 more, right, Milk?
Right.
The 2709.5 is the house number.
Hold it.
Page 147.
Again, with the figure?
2709.5.
Why? You added 600?
Mr. Chairman, this was, there have been several requests, among them one from the speaker He requested that we limit, well,
2705.
There were budget amendments, and the mental health people came in and wanted about a $1.3 million increase over the governor's budget. The speaker's very concerned about this area, and as am I and other people, but he didn't think that was warranted. He asked us to limit the increase to $600,000. We accepted his request, and that's how we got $600,000 over the governor's.
Is that going to be distributed all over the state, or what?
199. Oh, I added it to the grants, yeah. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong number. It's 2719.9. I added the 600,000 to the grants instead of the total.
Is that statewide, or?
That's statewide. We have a list of the communities that are receiving the grants. Some of them are new this year, and most of them are from last year or the year before.
Are you going to have them allocated so we know which ones, which community is going to get specific figures?
Well, they gave us a list. The 600,000 that we added was also broken down into different agencies, and we could put intent that they actually allocated according to their plan if you'd like. You probably want to see the plan first. But they do have a plan as to how they're going to allocate it, but we're not compelling them to do that here. I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
Who has
the like to put language in like that?
Well, I wondered, we are doing a comprehensive mental health commitment bill now, and many of the communities are talking about activity within their regions or within their communities. So in order to process some of those patients that go to any of the institutions, API or McLaughlin, they should have some funds at the local level. This is why I asked, because the bill, House Bill 472, is just about finished with its hearings in the HES committee. It will come to this the finance committee probably next week or so. And it requires some kind of consideration at the local level for mental health programs.
Yeah.
Well, just a thought.
Mr. Chairman? One thing I might point out is, now that since we stopped on this, is mental health, it used to be you had sort of one alternative or the other. You either were committed to API, where it costs about $85,000 a year to keep you, or you let out on the street where it doesn't cost anything, but you might go nuts again, right? So this is, the community mental health is seen as a cheaper alternative to incarceration for those people that, can be helped with just a little bit of counseling. Maybe they're going through a difficult time in their life or whatever. They go in, they can get services. In fact, in some of the rural communities, the community mental health people do everything from, they're almost everything from policemen to nursemaid, I guess, and midwife. But it seems to be pretty valuable program.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 149 now, emergency hospital care. Our recommendation is the governor's, which is 38.6. Reduction from the FY78 and from the maintenance bill. Arbor View, page 151. We recommend the governor's figures, 5617.8. That's below the maintenance request. Page 153, Council on Handicapped and Gifted. We took the maintenance budget, which is also last year's original authorization on County RP, 150.
I'm planning your way to the graveyard. I'm planning how to get some more money.
I'm not sure what that was going.
Page 157.
Well, did you take all those new positions?
Well, those aren't, they look new, but they're not really new.
Well, then how come
they're already hired?
I don't make a difference.
Well, they're not.
They're
new
in this year's budget. They're new in next year's budget, aren't they?
No, they've gotten by RP. Yeah, they're already
on.
It's maintenance.
They're already on, but they're
it's
in
a maintenance
there.
Budget.
They're new positions.
Okay, 157, regional administration, maintenance figures, 55.7. 159 residential care, 1637 is the house, or no, 1641.7 is the house recommendation, that's below the maintenance budget. 161, family support, governor's. Took the governor's figures, 942.3, on the computer field, if you recognize that. 163, low budget. 167 is the next relevant page. This is the Mental Health Administration Support Central Office. We recommend the figure of 533.2, that's the governor's recommendation, that's slightly below the maintenance budget. Mental Health Advisory Council and Land Board, 40,000, that's all for travel. Mental Health and Land Board, with the governor's recommendation.
They're not gonna have any lands after the selection.
171, demonstration grants, 80,000, that's, the governor's, budget, also the maintenance budget, also the 78 authorized.
Okay, what is a DD service?
Developmental disability.
Just in time.
The rest of them are debt service. They're not changing. Mr. Chairman, there's a couple of open budgets that we could go back to in, social services.
All right, well, okay, let's do that.
You can get a copy.
I haven't got my finger yet, Rod.
Oh, you have, Ernie?
No.
Well, we'll still have to have one open, Mr. Chairman, because Ernie's got some information yet to come.
Where, what's being left of federal law, what page?
Mike probably wouldn't appreciate that.
Hold on a second, what pages are open, Bill? In social services?
Social services,
Yeah.
Why are we not quitting there, we gotta, are we?
Oh, well, Mr. Chairman, I guess we don't have all the information we need. There is one other, request we could take up right now, that's a budget that's not currently open, I'd like to reopen it and put some in it. I forgot to do it, is what happened.
Well, okay, which budget?
Old age assistance, or, yeah.
Which social service?
It's $25,000, office agents, $25,000.
Is that in the,
Social services?
It's the other one.
Well, we gotta come back to that, all right, that's okay. Let me,
Funny how that computer just hit some of those things, isn't it? They're getting better.
There's a, before we go, there is a bill that we have taken up in committee already, but we took it up before it got here because, Pat Pletnikoff, Elliot Lee was here, and the bill itself was down in the Hess Committee. It's House Bill 728. And it has to do with a mobile dental clinic.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I'd like to take action on this bill since we do have it. At this time, if the members don't have any objections, we've had a pretty extensive, presentation on it.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Freeman.
Is there something, unique about the bill or the problem or the presentation that it should apply only to one area?
No, I don't think it is.
Has there been any study made as to, similar needs, similar application in other parts of the state?
Well, the problem is that, for instance, in Bethel, for instance, there is a dentist there. What's happened is that I forget whether it's a government, maybe I better go get Osh back on this thing, but there's a federal grant that customarily goes to really to other countries, and they've now funded it for the Aleutian Islands, and dentists are coming up from the University of California to work free there. And they have a special problem because there's not a dentist between there and Anchorage, as I understand it. And, for instance, in Bethel, which is also rural, there is a dentist there, Dr. Bob Carter. And here in the Aleutians is really the only place in Alaska where the dental services are just non-existent. And the University of California, through a federal grant, is gonna supply the dentists, and this particular Mobile Dental Lab can be moved from the Aleutians elsewhere. It's not just for the Aleutian Islands. It can be moved anywhere.
It's a pilot, isn't it?
It's a pilot program, yeah, but it may be something that we...
What was the price tag on it?
$200.
Is that a grant, you say, from the federal government?
No.
Is that would be from...
We'd be buying the clinic, but the dentists would be coming up from the University of California at Berkeley to provide free dental care. Maybe, I don't wanna rush this thing through people.
I would like to say this, though, that we do have, I know of dentists in Anchorage that gets a contract from Public Health Service and sometimes from the regional corporation. He has a mobile unit with him. In fact, it's so compact, it's maybe about 200 pounds. And he just sets it up and he goes from village to village. He has worked in Tow, Delta Junction, Northway during the summer months. And as far as I know, he does go to the Aleutian chain, and that's the sort of thing. And if we are going to spend $200,000 for equipment, there is an equipment that is available. If we are going to get free services from California there, you know, instead of buying the equipment, we could hire these people that are already here in the state and pay them the $200,000 rather than getting an outside help. This is the only reaction I have. People were complaining about that local dentist in Anchorage who said they could do the job instead of an outside agency that's gonna come in. That's the only...
I might try and go a little deeper to verify this, but I understand those six is coming up, four of them aren't licensed dentists. They're just students.
Students.
Out of the six.
And two of them are from California?
This is what I've learned indirectly about.
Let's get that information then.
I don't think you're
okay. The local dentist says he can, and he has the equipment.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what his name is now?
Yes, it's Fred Fredenberg. He's
I know that guy.
Menominee Indian.
Is he Menominee? Is that what
he's a Menominee Indian. He's married to a Haida. And they live in Anchorage.
I know that guy.
Where are the Menominee from?
From Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
He has lived here for some time with the U.S. Public Health Service.
Is he with USPHS?
No, he's not. He's on his own now.
I think, Mr. Chairman, this is, some of this leads back to the fact that Alaska Dental Board has kept Alaska totally closed to outside dentists for so many years that we don't have enough dentists. They've got it down to where they've just got a, they only allow so many dentists to come in here and be licensed in Alaska. Probably, I know in the last couple of years, when I was on health and welfare, we kind of opened that thing up a little bit and put the pressure on them, and they allowed a few more dentists in, but that could be some of our problem too.
Yeah, I think it's a related problem.
Okay, Leo, what was the question that you wanted to answer?
Well, about the six people coming up here, I understand four of them are student dentists, two are licensed in California.
Okay. Okay. What other questions do we have? This is, I think, a statewide application, a statewide availability, really, of the clinic is one that we gotta have answered.
We might be able to dig up the information how many dentists we have and how many come in the last couple, 3 years. Whether our population growth has kept pace with the new dentists coming in or allow them to come in.
Okay.
And also find out about, I think we could find out about the Delta plan and see what's happening there.
Oh, we've got it here.
Steve?
Yeah.
Got all of that?
Yeah.
One thing I would like to get considered is, you know, we've got some school construction bills coming out. And remember we passed that one that Sam and I worked our head off on last year, House Bill 89?
Yeah.
Well, what that bill did was, of course, those that were head over heels in debt, to completely took care of them completely, you know. And those are something.
Meeting will come to order, we've got a quorum.
After 5 years, we have some officers staying here. Can you retire after 5 years of this?
Five and a half.
While.
This is why I got to win next session.
While Ernie's on his phone, and can't vote against my motion, I've got a bill here that establishes an invention awards program. It's a bill that I'm putting in by request, as a matter of fact, of Jack Ackerman.
I don't know how much federal money you get.
Ackerman?
No, Jack Hackler.
It might be subject up there.
You know who I'm talking about? And it's a pretty good idea, I think, whether we get to it this year or not. We'll set up an Alaska Inventions Committee and provide some incentive for Alaskan inventors through prizes and whatnot. And no amount is mentioned in the thing, so we can set that way.
It might be that I can't find out.
I might lose it.
If I don't, I'll be in trouble.
Introduce that as a financing bill.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Is there any objection to that? Okay, not a motion carries.
It might be in the future, but it's really hard.
Let's, we are now taking up public protection. Mr. Schaefer, you have a score.
Thank you. Okay, page three, rather. State recorder system. We, subcommittee didn't have any formal recommendation, or didn't have any recommendation at all in this particular subcategory, because we felt that there was enough questions at least in my mind, and other members of the subcommittee, that wanted to bring this up before the full committee and then decide what course to take as far as the state recorder system. Bob, you want to go ahead and give us a synopsis of this?
Well, basically, what these people wanted to do is they contemplate, with these new positions that the governor approved in Anchorage and Fairbanks, of discontinuing recording that is now taking place in Bethel and Nome. Now, the problem with that is they've got a position each in Bethel and Nome, which they didn't mention in the budget. And they made absolutely no explanation of what was going to happen to these two positions. And I can't find any real benefit outside of making it nice for the agencies to have these people in Anchorage and Fairbanks. It sure isn't going to help the service out to those communities any. Because in effect, you're going to have to wait for your recordings to be recorded in Fairbanks and Anchorage. You're going to have to wait for mail turnaround. So imagine what you could have done by going in and standing there and watching a gal do it in 20 minutes. Now going to take you a week to 10 days.
Well, what, yeah. why did the governor decide to close those offices?
Didn't really decide to close them. Well, I guess you could assume he did from the standpoint that the budget seems to have been approved that way. But in the budget, the agency talks in terms of just a little more efficiency. But the efficiency, from what I can see, is for the agency. It doesn't have a thing to do with the public.
Leo?
I wonder how many recordings they have in those areas. Maybe the recording's down so low that it doesn't pay to keep anybody there.
Well, they don't mention that, and the data, what there is of it that they bring in, doesn't bear them out.
Well, I think we've got an obligation to provide that service to people myself.
Right.
It seems to me, Bob, that there would be, let's see, would there be much more volume in Western Alaska? There wouldn't be, because most of it, I guess, is land contained under the Native Claims Settlement Act that can't be conveyed. But it's got to be recorded, hasn't it?
Right.
It's got to be recorded.
You're out of that.
If I might add, you know, Mr. Chairman, that the people in the constable, they have to go through enrollments. It's sometimes it course, is the recording office there is so disorientated that they have to go to Fairbanks to get the real documents.
Well, don't they, Leo, don't they have a, don't they have somebody they can file a thing with and contribute?
Do you have a city clerk?
We've got a municipal clerk, but the, most of the land up there is federal land.
Well, at least they,
I don't think we ought to close those offices, and I think we ought to put them in, put it in intent.
Either that or leave them with the city clerk or some.
At any rate, we left it open to.
Are they gonna transfer those people in?
They made no provision for that. That's a very disturbing part of this budget. On the surface, it would appear they plan to leave the people there, keep the positions, just get new ones to do the job in Anchorage and Fairbanks.
All right. Then, seems to me what we want to do is let me see. There's going to be a lot of new action in Fairbanks, I know, because we've just gotten through getting a bill through. It's going to unload all that acreage on the municipality, and they're going to in turn turn it over. I don't know whether they need any person for that or not. But tell you what we'll do. I tell you what let's do. Let's leave the people in Bethel and Nome and can one acreage and the Fairbanks body. Well, does that sound like a reasonable? Were they going to operate all that out of Anchorage or what?
Well, they would bring Nome to Fairbanks and Bethel to Anchorage. The transactions. This was the basic thought in here.
But they didn't disallow the positions.
I can find nothing in this budget that has any regard for those existing positions.
I can see what they're doing. They're probably saying one extra person in Fairbanks, for instance, they can take care of the overload that they'll have in Fairbanks plus whatever they got in Nome. I imagine that's what they're saying. Red?
Yeah, what they used for an excuse was here on note two is if Bethel and Nome recording districts are closed, funds may be reallocated. While they're using this, they're taking that type of an intent, using it. We should get rid of that kind of intent.
Okay.
There's where they're. That's how they're doing it.
Okay.
Let's just leave them where they are and put the intent in those positions are to remain in those places.
All right. Okay. I think it's probably the best thing to do. Question whether they need three new bodies in Anchorage. Have they got a recording office in Palmer, Leo? That's where the action's going to be, is in Palmer. Mm-hmm. They got down in the Massu Valley.
Well, there's quite a few people live in Palmer. Yeah. I mean,
they've got. I'm sorry. They've got four positions right now in Palmer. Four full-time positions.
Palmer.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a lot.
They've got four recording clerks in Palmer.
All right. Yeah, that's really the way it is. The whole damn thing.
Okay. Leo, you want? I move the
governor's figure.
Okay.
With a letter of intent.
With the intent that that the Nome and Bethel recording offices shall not be closed. All right. Is objection? Okay. If not, that'll be adopted, okay.
Okay, second page, he struck the position in Juneau, the legal assistant.
Yeah.
And everybody has a computer break out of it.
Oh.
Yeah. Do I?
I just gave you one. It was later on top. Protection budget.
That'd give us a total of 437.9.
How many of these new positions did you take, or did we take?
Just the one that the governor allowed.
On that, page three.
That's governor.
Governor, that was 14.
Okay, page seven. We took the governor's recommendation.
That consultant to develop the regulations, aren't they supposed to be using Attorney General's office for those damn things?
That's it. They are. You'll see that there's 37.5. Well, it gets a little bit screwed up. You'll see there's 37.5 for interagency transfer there, which would go to the governor's office, or to the Attorney General's office. But in the notes on the budget, they talk to where they're getting $50,000 for consultant services to develop regulations. There's only 36.3 of that actually comes up in contractual services. The other 15 grand is for training.
For what?
Investigator training.
Tell me again. I didn't follow you, but
well,
you started to ring a bell when you said something.
Okay. On page six, contractual services, they talk about your contractual being increased due to rent increases. And then they say consultant services to develop regulations, 50 grand. Okay, but when I go into the budget itself and get onto Form 15, a contractual services detail sheet, I find only $36,300 for developing the regulations, and I find $15,000 for investigator training.
Well, how much investigative training have we got to do? We got 10 people on board now. They have to have.
Well, they're the ones that they plan on training. It's not new positions, right? You'll see that they're asking for, and the governor did not allow, one new investigator. But this is for their regular. The regular people on board, and they don't describe what kind of training it's going to be.
Well, how about, okay, well the 37.5 then goes back to the Department of Law, is that it?
In effect, yes, sir. $1,000 of that is travel. $36,300 is contractual for the attorney and secretary, and $200 for supplies.
Have we ever, at the end of the year, in other words, these interagency transfers ought to be subtracted from the total budget.
Somewhere along the line, because the Department of Law is also covering them as an interagency receipt.
I know it.
So you're getting a double counting, yes?
Yeah. All right.
But to answer your question, I'm not aware that anybody's ever reconciled these as far as one in, one out.
How do we get them out? How do we get this stuff out of the budget? If it's double, if we pay for it twice.
It's just an accounting system that the executive wants to set up. In other words, he wants these agencies to pay for the services that they get from the Attorney General.
You don't pay $2.
It winds up being double in the budget twice. So it makes the budget look bigger than it really is.
Right. If you're not spending $2 for one, you're counting two, but you're only spending one.
Yeah.
What do they do with the other buck then?
Well, it's just the paper dollars is the thing. It's the interagency transfer. You're not, in effect, spending the $2. You're only spending $1. You're just showing it in two budgets.
Then they don't need the other dollar.
Well, it doesn't show up as a general fund expenditure.
Okay.
With in other words, it'll show up over in the AG's office as other funds.
Right, as an interagency receipt.
Well, but the total budget is
not. Right. By the time three or four clerks handle that money, why, it's deteriorated. And we're paying for something we're not getting.
Well,
okay.
Anyhow. All right. Subcommittee recommendation is the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
we can just ramble on.
Number 11, page 11, I guess.
Mr. Chairman, on page 11, the subcommittee took the governor's budget.
No questions? Page 13, the governor's budget. Governor's budget. I'm just going to go unless somebody objects.
Yeah, right.
Page 17 was the governor's budget. Page 19 was the governor's. Page 23 was the governor's. Page 25 was the governor's. 27 was the governor's.
Wait, hold on. I need to go get a report. Something that had to do with this part of the budget. Hold on.
I had no business.
At 27, I had
no business.
Steve, you have a question on page 29, the fisherman's fund?
No, go ahead.
Oh yeah, second entry fund. There's 300,000 in that fund.
You have a question on that?
I just had a note here where we said there was 300,000 in that fund. Surplus.
Their money up.
Well, I could tell you what happened last year. They took $200,000 from some kind of a fund in the Department of Labor and put it into the Seward School Skill Center. And that's what caused us to, Department of Labor's inability to establish that office in Petersburg.
If I remember correctly, the second injury fund, we ate that money up.
How did you do it?
You got a supplemental this year, but you didn't take all of it. Well, yeah, you did. You stripped it down pretty well, but they'll have enough coming in 79.
We gave a hell of a chunk to some guy that wanted to set up a store in Arkansas.
There was three of them that we put that in, but then we pulled it out.
Isn't that what we did with the money? The guy wanted to buy a store in Arkansas because he got hurt on the pipeline? Yeah.
I don't remember. There were three requests on that. Doesn't make any difference what he does with the money. We don't control that. He's entitled to it. Okay.
Page
29.
29, we took the governor's recommendation.
Just about surplus in that fund. In the second provision fund, why is there that much money in surplus?
Somebody got hurt.
Well, I guess they don't. It's because they go on marine. You know? Excuse me.
Okay, page 33 was the governor's recommendation. Skip on over to page 43.
Wait a minute.
Red?
On your weights and measures. And I hope you guys take this as that I'm trying to do anything for. Probably a first Red's personal house and not. But that weights and measures was under somebody in Anchorage for umpteen years and we never amounted to anything. And now that it's under a different supervision and the guy is doing a terrific job, the travel budget here isn't anywhere near what it should be. And one of the things that's happening is he doesn't have not so much the travel out of Anchorage, but the travel with his people that's scattered around. And in the buying of fish, Kuskokwim, Yukon, Alta Chain, everywhere, is that those people are buying, using old, dilapidated, non-certified scales and weights, and the fishermen are just getting clobbered everywhere. And the one thing that, because he's just working the program over, he's not able to get people out the proper place. And that makes a hell of a lot of difference in the fishing down, especially in the Kuskokwim and the Yukon and out the chain. There's those remote areas, and there should be some more travel cranked into this one specifically for that reason. Not so much for the guy traveling out of there, but the guy that just got in the field to travel. I'd like to raise that 10 times. Well, he's not anywhere near touching, anywhere near touching areas, because they've never done anything with their field. And guys are selling, buying fish out there with scales that are just never anywhere from 4 ounces to a pound off. And that's a hell of a lot.
It's a mechanical inspection, which would be...
You want a gurney?
Huh?
No, every time I know about this, where that kid up here took that program, the mechanical job.
Okay.
I don't want to push it.
I know they're doing a good job too.
And it needs to continue to do a hell of a lot more than he's able to. He's not doing it, it's just that he's, the people that he's brought aboard are real doing a hell of a job, and they just, they're not able, especially out in the chain and the room there, to get their guys out.
Let's put some.
I don't want it to come.
No, I don't want to.
What you're saying, but it's pretty hard to justify.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe we better move it along.
I'm surprised he hasn't gone farther on that. He was talking about.
Well, we can straighten it up later on, but I'd like to tag it up. Excuse me. I'd like to go. What page would that be on?
25 in the blue book, Mr. Jim.
I'd like to go back to page 25. We've got a plumbing inspector in there. The governor requested it, but, or rather they requested it, but that's not the same thing. Is that right?
No, this guy actually goes out and inspects the work.
That's not the same. Okay. The problem is this, that we got a on page 25, we've got a law providing that anybody who's doing plumbing work has to hold a journeyman plumber certificate, sets up his inspections and examination requirements and stuff. And that was 1974 law, and the plumbing code adopted in 72, providing for a permit and inspection program. Well, they're sending out the, I guess they're just sending out the certificates, but they don't really mean anything because there's no examination. That's about the size of it, isn't it, Bob?
Right, they're just sending out a certificate. And in effect, they're giving these guys grandfather rights should they ever get around to setting up a code for examining them. And that seems to be what this association is complaining about. One thing that happened in fiscal year 78 budget, or last session, was that the plumbing inspector who was in there, well, the position was there, but they hadn't filled it. And that was deleted in last year's budget. So they had a position.
All right. I'd like to beg the committee's indulgence along this line. We don't have yet a definite figure for that. But it's my understanding it would cost about $50,000 to set up a proper examination and to, so that it means something. Now, we got a law on the books that hadn't been enforced, and people who are affected are beginning to complain. Because effectively, anybody that asks for a journeyman plumbing certificate is getting one. And right. What it is, I tell you, I don't want some guy up there fixing my plumbing that doesn't know what he's doing.
I guess, charge you $30 an hour and you can do a better job yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what was your.
Okay, I'd like to add $50,000 in contractual for setting out proper examinations for journeyman plumber certificates.
Proper regulations for it?
Yeah. Yeah, for regulations and examinations.
Plumber inspectors?
Just journeyman certificate. In other words, you can't work unless you got a certificate, right? But nobody's set up the regulations as to what a journeyman plumber is supposed to know or do, and he's supposed to take a test, but nobody's set up the test, so therefore anybody that says he's a journeyman plumber is. They just give him a certificate, which is no good. Is there objection to that addition there? Okay, if there's not, that'll be adopted. And I will, it's a little sloppy to do it this way, and I will, if I can get a better figure, and this is the best I can do so far. But if I can get a better figure, we'll come back and revise it. And we should have one of them next 2 or 3 days, but I do think it's going to be something.
Seems like that's good approach.
Okay, where were we?
We're on Waits and Major.
Page 33.
Okay. I'd like to up that travel $10,000.
Subcommittee's recommendation was the governor's orders, but Mr. Swanson was pointing out something I didn't realize.
Okay, where are we now? Page
33.
Okay. Red?
Well, it's come to me in the conversations I had with people working in Weights and Measures that the program just went along with somebody there that they never ever done anything up until about 8 months ago when the guy left, retired, and they brought on a new man, and he's really worked that program over. He's doing a damn good job, and what he's finding is that, especially in measuring and buying of fish, that the scales that the buyers are using are not up to standard, and there's no way that he can get, like his inspector that works out of Juneau here, can travel enough to cover those scales to Southeastern Alaska and the chain, the Yukon and the Kuskokwim, which are remote from the office in Anchorage. And that added travel into those three areas would probably give us, it would, in fact, it's protection to the fishermen.
Pardon? As a fisherman?
Right.
Huh?
Right, that's where the complaint comes from.
Okay. Mr. Chairman? Yeah.
Leo? Well, if you could explain their justification for their increase in travel, the way you read it now.
Okay, this is merely for training. For training of inspectors. And what it amounts to is approximately one training course per inspector per year. So on that basis, it's not necessarily exorbitant.
Mr. Rowe.
Well, I'm just wondering, it's $10,000 more than it was the year before, and it's what they requested. This is what kind of puzzles me.
Well, I might explain again, Mr. Chairman, that they've never done any work in that, other than the guy sitting there waiting for his retirement for about the last 7 years in Anchorage, and he didn't do a damn thing. And in fact, some of the inspectors were really hauling in a pocketful. And the
the way that the, it's being run now under new supervision, it's doing what it's supposed to do in protection. That's the reason for the, that was the reason for my request, because they're doing now what they're supposed to do, and it is a consumer protection. That's where you get it, is from what his inspectors do out there in inspecting scales. There's no doubt in my mind, Mr. Chairman, before the year's up, we'll hear a lot more about standard types of scales in Alaska. What's, by not being up to standard, the problems it's going to cause us with some of our matching funds from the federal government.
Okay. Well, what are the, what's the motion then?
I'd move the figure of 40.6 in travel.
Is there objection to Mr. Swanson's motion? No, it's not. Motion will carry. Okay. It's otherwise
651.2,
right?
Mr. Chairman, would you want to see some intent written in here as far as that additional $10,000?
Well, I was waiting for motion.
Well, the intent is that the money be used in inspectors and travel. That was the reason for it.
All right, are you moving that intent then?
Yes.
All right, the objection to the intent. Okay, if not, go ahead. If we adopt it. We are, let's see. I guess the next thing will be on page 42.
Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee adopted at the request of the agency a different request or a different amount than's in the governor's budget. The reason being that the administration, the governor budget people, in effect, took the Uniform Commercial Code Group, which is two bodies, and about $42,000, and stuck it into the budget found on page 45 of the workbook, which is the financial institutions. Well, it's an administrative problem for the agency, and they requested that, in effect, it be taken out of that budget, financial institutions, and put into the corporation's budget, because it, in effect, works with the people in this particular unit. So what has happened is that the subcommittee has deducted the $42,000 from financial institutions and inserted it under the corporation's budget. And the numbers that the subcommittee adapted was 150.1 personal services, 32.7 in contractual, 1.9 in commodities, 4.9 in equipment, and 12.9 in lands and buildings, which is Asher rent. A total of 202.5. Now there is an identical reduction to the financial institution's budget on page 45.
All right. Now 529.2.
Yes, sir.
All right. I have a question on page 45. If we're finished with 43, are there further questions on 43? Leo?
That would push the number of employees to 8, reduce
yes,
them
sir.
On the next page to 13.
Huh? Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't have any.
Okay. Page 45, these guys who are transferred from administration, has that been followed up and made sure that they were reduced in that amount?
In administration?
Yeah.
I talked with Allison on that. And she said she thought they were. I haven't pursued any further than that. She was going to get back to me if they had not been.
All right. I'd like to tag that down to this to be followed up, to be sure that if we're adding bodies in this part of the budget, they're not also still lurking over there in the Department of Administration. So with that footnote, I suppose.
report. Bring us over to page 57.
Basically, the insurance division was reworked, and I would refer you back, actually, from comparison to page 47 of the blue book, where you'll see that the FY79 positions are the same current full-time positions as the division had in fiscal year 78. What they've done is to combine and rearrange last year's four components into three for fiscal year 79. And in checking them out, I found out there wasn't any sleight of hand or any games playing. In effect, they've gone right down the line with pretty much a maintenance budget. And the subcommittee on page 57 accepted the governor's budget. They did the same on page 59 and again on page 61. These are all parts of the insurance division. Page 63, we have the Public Utilities Commission. And the subcommittee took the governor's budget minus the new position, which was approved by the governor. Subcommittee took $1,141.6 for personal services.
Read it again, Bob.
1141.6. All other line items, same as the governor's, and a total of 1363.6. And 36 permanent full time positions.
Three people in this operation when I first come to the legislature.
Yeah.
And my God, they can't even win a case. No kidding. Well, the RCA's meeting here yesterday. And they had it coming anyway.
Huh? There you got $240,000 women working in this outfit. Plus.
Yeah.
On page 67, Transportation Commission, the subcommittee took basically the governor's budget minus the two transportation field agent positions which the legislature authorized last year, which through March the 4th had not yet been filled. And in effect, they deleted these two positions, which in turn gave you a total of 949.2 in personal services, and these positions each had $3,000 worth of travel attached to them, so the committee also deducted that, which reduced travel to 57.6. Other line items remained the same as the governor's, and you had a total of 1223.2 and 28 permanent full-time positions.
What were those positions, Bob, at the time?
They were transportation field agents, and they were brand new last year, and the agency is, the best I could find out, they didn't get around to establishing them until October 10th, and they have never filled them. They've been showing up as vacant ever since.
Okay.
The Alaska Pipeline Commission, the
subcommittee allowed the new positions in the governor's budget, but deleted the pipeline auditor's position, which has been vacant since October of 1976.
Those new positions, I think, they came out of the RFPs, I think, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Passed.
Is it over 76? Only have one auditor?
Yes.
They only have one auditor?
No, they have more than one auditor, but they have never filled this position. They've kind of changed their emphasis to analysis and engineering from auditing, but they never, you know, they wanted to keep that position as a freebie. The numbers that the subcommittee took were 368.8 in personal services. All other line items remained the same as the governor's. And the total was 559.7. The number of positions, 9. They're at 3688, I'm not sure. Actually $40,000 comes off. It might have been that at the time that I priced that out, I had the wrong number on that position.
So the total was
559.7. If my price is beat out, we come to an even 40 grand, 39,963.
Five five nine point seven.
That's the subcommittee's recommendation. And allowing the three new positions.
Bob, where does the paperwork reduction person show up? Is he in here or is he in the general government?
Must be in general government. I've never seen anything like it in here.
Okay. I noticed it. His impact has not been felt.
Is it a reduction or a production?
Well, we thought reduction. We may have made a mistake. Anyway, okay, sorry.
What was the first service?
3688. Street 40 grand off the 4-8.
Mr. Chairman, on this, I had a little note here. Everybody knows that the pipeline commission's expenses are supposed to be somehow brought back to the state in the form of interagency receipts.
Well, there would be interagency or revenues from Alyeska. It wouldn't be interagency because they're not part of the state government per se.
Just out of curiosity, I haven't seen anything or haven't even heard of anything that where the commission has actually billed Alyeska for.
This is for interstate lines, isn't it?
For the pipeline commission?
Pipeline commission.
I didn't know they were supposed to be funded. I thought we funded all that in general.
Well, there was a billing. Remember last year when Donahue was down here in front of the commission going for his $750,000? There was quite a discussion as to whether or not the pipeline commission had ever billed Alyeska for these costs, but they could have. And at that time he said they hadn't. And I believe that's what you're addressing.
Mr. Chairman, even if they did, isn't it in the long run we are going to be paying for it anyway, aren't we? In lost revenues.
36%. By what authority do they claim the right to bill out yesterday? That's why I don't.
Supposedly in the contract, as I understood it, I don't remember exactly what Donahue said last year, but there was, just like you had all of your engineers out of natural resources and fish and game and all these guys are supposedly billed back.
Okay.
873.
On page 73, the subcommittee deleted out. Yes, just a second, please, if I might, Mr. Chairman. Okay, there was a special investigator position that has been vacant, PCN 2013. It's been vacant since March of 1977, and the subcommittee deleted that out of the budget. And you had the only change was a total of 5120 in personal services. In fact, 26.4 was deducted out.
Can you tell me how they need that much travel? $156
It's travel for holding your examinations for the various commissions. They've got 21 different bodies that meet here, that various commissions that license, and it's travel for these people. It's travel for the staff to go to various localities to hold their exams.
What if, this doesn't include the occupational boards, does it?
Yeah, the boards travel under this also.
No, all right. They had a gigantic increase from 77 to 78.
Right.
What was that for any specific? In other words, I see them holding the line here, but it looks like there's about a $60,000 increase in 77. Was that for any specific purpose?
Yeah, basically what had happened is some of the boards were authorized to collect per diem, and some weren't. They jacked that around with two bills to make all of the board members.
Okay,
they had fine. Some boards that they couldn't get anybody to serve on because the guys had to pay out of their own pocket to go to these things.
Yeah.
So that was corrected.
Okay.
But the total, well, other line items except personal services, personal service 512.0, other line items adopted by the committee were the same as the governor's, and the total was 881.0 and 21 permanent full-time positions. Page 75 in administration and support, subcommittee took the governor's amount.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gunn.
Under grants, related to Bristol Bay Development Council, I received a letter recently. I think you were notified of a request for further funding. I guess they're going to be receiving some federal grants from somewhere, but they need a funding to some $90,000, I think, to keep this program going.
I'm sorry, Phil, somebody came in just as you were talking. What was it?
Well, it pertains to Bristol Bay Development Council. Has Nelson been in touch with you about this? They're putting in
I think it ought to come under development, wouldn't it? And then where would you even put that rather than under business regulations?
Well, last year, I do believe, I have to check it, but I think it was a free conference where that thing came up in here.
Yeah.
And at that time, this happened to be open. I have no insight as to the propriety of this or any other budget for it, but this is where it was and where it was put.
How much was it?
$72,500.
Last year?
Yes, sir.
And they got 52 in there this year, and nothing in 77 actual?
Well, there was nothing in 77.
Well, it was funded through a different source.
Right, but nothing in this budget.
It wasn't in here, but I think it was done through a supplemental the year before that. It's been, ever since they had that disaster out there, this thing, the state's kind of propped this thing up. And I would think it'd be better off in the development budget, because that's really what it is. I don't know what it's doing. Regulation of business and professions, they got anything to do.
I never did anything.
Hey, I'd rather take it under development.
Okay.
I don't know why it was in here.
Well, what's the $52,000 for?
That's lands and buildings.
What is it?
Okay, that's
Lands and buildings.
No, that's lands and buildings.
Grants is the
Big cash payment.
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Bucko.
Well, I am generous, you know, but what I'd like to know why I'm generous for some instances, and the one for Bristol Bay funding is causing a puzzle in my mind, why we continue to fund programs like that. When the disaster took place, well, no one would come in and ask for the same thing when they have disaster. And we can keep them in the books for years and years on end without any end to it. I just don't know whether, you know, maybe we might just establish a separate component to continue funding all these disastrous incidents in the state, you know, if we want to do that, rather than just say some area has caused economic setback.